This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. When it comes to energy generation, we're developing a greater dependence on natural gas, and coal is being put on the back burner, so to speak, anyway. There is much still to be done when it comes to maximizing the generation of renewable energies. Utilities are investing far more in wind power these days. Many individuals and municipalities are getting more focused on solar power. That includes Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor. In fact, the city of Ann Arbor has partnered with Michigan Interfaith Power and Light to encourage more houses of worship to go solar. Is it working? My guest this morning is Jennifer Young, and Jennifer is project manager at Michigan Interfaith Power and Light, and thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Before we get into solar specifics, I want to better understand the genesis of your organization. How did Michigan Interfaith Power and Light come into being?
We were founded by Father Charles Morris, a Catholic priest who felt that the faith community voices should really be at the forefront of addressing climate change in alignment with our moral values. So he created Michigan Interfaith Power and Light. It was the fourth state affiliate to join a national network that now has over 40 organizations across the country.
Pope Francis has taken a rather progressive stand on climate change and has assertively stated it is, in fact, a Christian duty to care for the planet and its environment. Was Father Morris's decision to create this entity a response to the Pope's call, or was it something in development even earlier?
Definitely way before. He was passionate about this and wanted to make sure that the faith community had a common voice when it comes to caring for the environment.
Interfaith is right in the title. Father Morris is Catholic. Have other Christian denominations and other religions joined in the effort?
Yeah, absolutely. Just as an example, we have currently underway, one of our programs is an energy efficiency program with Consumers Energy, where we're offering a free energy assessment and upgrades to houses of worship across the state who have Consumers Energy. And there are over 40 participating denominations in that program alone.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Michigan Interfaith Power and Light Project Manager Jennifer Young. We're going to discuss the organization's effort to get more places of worship in the Ann Arbor area to go solar. How many religious buildings have come on board to this point in the city of Ann Arbor?
So far there have been 7 houses of worship that have reached out to us since the program has been published, and definitely there can be more. We're going to have an information session this fall, so any houses of worship that contact us prior to that and express interest in participating, we welcome them to participate.
And what is being asked of those who do choose to participate? Is there a level of commitment minimum, or is it to become entirely self-reliant in energy generation?
It's really, really just to express interest in learning about solar. I think for all of us, really, the first step is a solar learning curve, because when you get into the conversation, that really the most appropriate action could be to make your building more energy efficient. And getting buy-in from other members of your congregation, the leadership, building and grounds committee, or whoever are the relevant stakeholders at your house of worship, that really is the most important initial stage. And then exploring whether it's right for your house of worship, if you have a south-facing roof, or if there's other factors that contribute to it. So we're really just asking for houses of worship to let us know if they're interested, and then we can begin the conversation.
As you go through these conversations with the pastors of these churches or houses of worship, and you get a feel for what is happening with the congregation and their attitudes towards this progression, what do you see as the barriers for full buy-in?
I think the biggest thing is just education. A lot of houses of worship, when they first heard about solar, as we all did a few years back, thought it was really expensive and not worth the initial upfront capital investment. And I think that's a perception that was valid at the time, but it's certainly not at this time. With the technology advances and also the decline in price, it's really affordable. And that's what the city of Ann Arbor is working on. They're developing funding strategies to make it even more accessible for nonprofits and houses of worship.
And I would assume that over the course of years that you can provide evidence of churches that have already participated, already made the investment, that the return is there for you.
Absolutely. And a lot of congregations have come up with really innovative, creative financing strategies for making this happen. And they're on our website, which is www.miipl.org. You can look for success stories. We have a few video segments of houses of worship that have gone solar, and otherwise we have case stories of congregations all across the state.
Our conversation with Jennifer Young continues on 89.1 WEMU. Jennifer is project manager at Michigan Interfaith Power and Light and our guest on issues of the environment. Let's for a moment put this in context of the city of Ann Arbor's climate action plan. The city wants to reduce its carbon emissions by 25% by the year 2025. As part of that effort, it set a goal of generating 24 megawatts of solar energy by that same deadline. What do you see as Michigan Interfaith Power and Light's role in getting to that goal?
In addition to having long-standing institutions that are going to be around for a while, where it makes sense to make the investment in solar because you know the building will be used for the long term, they're also leaders in the community. So just like with local governments, when the faith community stands up, they're leading by example and showing to members and to residents, this is important. And it's not just important in terms of what we're doing at the church, but we're part of a bigger movement to say this is part of loving our neighbors as ourselves, is taking care of the planet. We're not just current, but future generations.
And do you see this partnership with the city of Ann Arbor as something that continue beyond 2025 and continue developing renewable energy sources in houses of worship into the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I think that solar is just one of the many ways that we can all exercise caring for creation, and it's the beginning of a conversation for how do we look at our impact, not just in terms of our own congregation, but in terms of the broader community.
Meantime, this partnership you formed with Ann Arbor has become significant enough. You've entered into a national contest that seeks to encourage and proliferate solar investment and community solar integration. What exactly is involved in this contest?
My understanding of the Department of Energy's challenge is to encourage solar adoption in underserved communities, and part of that is nonprofits and houses of worship. And so that's where the Solar Faithful program in Ann Arbor really addresses a community that hasn't necessarily been the focus of a lot of the DOE's challenge, but in this case it is.
Now, there are probably some inherent benefits of participating in such a contest, education, awareness, win, lose, or draw. So are you excited about the prospect of simply drawing more attention to the possibilities that exist today and in the future?
That is exciting because anyone who expresses interest lets us know that they're interested in participating in a solar faithful program. In some senses, they win. They're starting a conversation. They're starting to look at how they can look at their energy use. I know the campus chapel in Ann Arbor has already said they're 100% powered by renewable energy. That's possible, but even for congregations that just offset a portion of their energy efficiency, they're still going to be seeing financial gains, and they're still going to be experiencing an environmental benefit.
Well, and speaking of benefits, I'm sure you've drawn some interest today. If area congregations are interested in becoming a part of the local solar solution, is the best way to get involved by first visiting your website, or can they call somewhere directly?
Yeah, they certainly can visit our website, which again is www.miipl.org. They can feel free to call me or email me. And my number is 248-463-8811, or they can email projectmanager@miipl.org.
Jennifer, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
That is Jennifer Young, project manager at Michigan Interfaith Power and Light. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a weekly feature produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Manager, and you hear it only on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.